Has anybody heard any good music today? Did anybody hear any good music yesterday? My goodness. Don't you wish you could just clone yourself? And you could see all the music that you want to see in one time. And just think, there's a big day and a half left. How you liking this weather?
Pretty warm.
I think we're about ready. One of the highlights of Merle Fest every year is this great mandolin extravaganza. A little instrument that just won't be silenced. And lucky for us, we've got Mr. Mandolin of North Carolina to act as our host of the mandolin extravaganza today. A man who ought to have Lloyd as his middle name, Mr. Tony Williamson. Give him a hand.
Hello, check 1, 2, testing. Hey, welcome to Mando Mania. Well, we asked them to keep it down to a half a dozen this year. But, you know, they don't count too well. We're glad to have everybody, all these mandolin players back, and we're going to be doing some... What, 96 was the first year this was started at the Midnight Jam. They asked me to put together a mandolin orchestra, and this is what it's grown into. So, guys? We need to find all these mics before we start. Okay, is everybody happy? Thank you. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Mando Mania. We're going to introduce these fellas in groups. I'm going to introduce a couple at a time, then we're going to play some more music, so we will have plenty of music. And throughout, we can take a few questions, but we're trying to move on because of time. Over here to the right, to start things out, this gentleman was the last mandolin player for the Country Gentlemen, and he now has a wonderful band called Circuit Riders. Make welcome Darren Aldridge. Thank you, folks. Darren, do you have any tips or suggestions about mandolin playing from your point of view and your style?
Watch all these guys in the middle here. That's the best advice I can give you. How's that?
In the middle of what? Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it? You want to try to squeeze everybody onto the front row somehow? This is kind of crazy.
Leave McCurry back there. Should we make the people with the most expensive mandolin sit in the back?
Okay, the next gentleman here, moving right along. You guys all know him, and you've heard him play for many years with Third Time Out. And right now, he's setting the world on fire with the pushing the boundaries of bluegrass with the John Cowan Band. One of my favorite mandolin players and a great North Carolina boy, Wayne Benson.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so much. That's right. I'm Dan from North Carolina. Grew up only about an hour from here. Anybody out there ever hear of a mandolin player named Dewey Farmer, by any chance? Well, he was a guy that I listened to a lot. I used to hear him play this Frank Wakefield tune that was really, you heard, like every mandolin player in the world did this back in the 80s. New Camptown Races was to the 80s as Rebecca was to the 90s, I think. I've always wanted to hear Ronnie and Sam and Tony and all these guys play this tune, so we'll try it, the New Camptown Races. Thank you.
Well, this next gentleman back here, and you know, notice when we moved everybody to the front row, the only person we got up here was Sierra. He stayed in the back row, but
I told him earlier, I said, excuse me guys, I've kind of got like what you like to call laryngitis right now. I lost my voice, but I told him earlier, I was like, hey, I get to be in the back, so that way if I mess up, they can't see me, and that means that Ronnie could just take over for me, and you guys would think it's me. All right.
But, you know, well, this gentleman back here really needs no introduction, because you all get to see him at all the festivals, because they work 1,500 dates a year. Ronnie McCurry. Have you got any thoughts about mandolin?
Well, looks like there's a lot of fans out here today. Must be a lot of pickers out there today. A lot of pickers here today, I imagine, and it's a great instrument to pick up and to learn to play. And I've had a great life doing it. I've been fortunate enough to play with my dad about 26 years now, and travel the roads. But you know, it's great to be here with all these mandolin pickers today, and to just listen to the different styles that people come up with, you know, the way they play it, and I'm just one in a long list, so I'm glad to be here.
Now, you know, for a long time, there's been a trend in the mandolin world and in bluegrass in general that I think is abominable. The bluegrass mandolin world has for a long time been a boys' club, and thanks to some really special people, that is being turned around. You know, at the turn of the century, the mandolin was really big, and there were so many women involved in mandolin orchestras in those days, and some really great players in the history of this instrument, that now that is turning around, and thanks to people like this young lady here, we are starting to get some phenomenal female mandolin players. So please make welcome Sierra Holt. And she's a brilliant player, and I asked her what song would be good, you know, that she could kick off and we could feature her on, and I was expecting to hear like Hills of Gilgamesh or something. And instead she says she wanted to do the Bluegrass Thong. My kind of girl. Thank you. Well, moving on down the line. Last year's world champion baseball team. Just happened to have that on, huh, Sam? He couldn't wear his bib overalls today because it would have covered that up. You look lovely. Any thoughts on Mandomania?
Thank you. Thank you. There's no request. We'll go ahead with the program. Thoughts on Mandomania, just in that, if you notice all, and as it's been mentioned, Ronnie was talking about it, the different styles. And if you're a Maryland player, be it beginning, advanced, whatever stage you may be in, it's kind of like in developing your own style. And, of course, that can be musical suicide, getting your own style. But it's the kind of thing where Howard Roberts, the jazz guitar player, said one time, if you only copy one person, that's plagiarism. But if you copy every player you ever hear, there's something to be learned from every Maryland player that you would ever hear, no matter what their level of expertise might be. So if you steal from one person, it's plagiarism. If you steal from everybody, it's research. We can all learn from each other. So that's what I have to say.
Very cool. Very cool. Did I hear a request for Jerusalem Ridge?
Yeah.
Should we play that, guys? Sam, you want to lead us into that?
That's a good number.
It's a good number.
Pete, get on this and stay with me like a foxhound on that melody.
That's right.
By the way, he could be holding a mandolin, but I'm sure y'all know that's Peter Rowan down here on the track.
Thank you.
ladies and gentlemen, we really are thrilled to expand the Mando Mania to include a little guitar on this set. I think this might be
a little
first.
Guitar, just a little old tiny little guitar.
And we have the man who can really play it, and actually a couple of fellows I'm going to introduce to you, because we're going to do something else we've never done on Mando Mania, is have a little singing to go along with it. But first, okay, that was the singing I was talking about. Okay, moving right along, we're going to do Rawhide now. But first, maybe this gentleman might have some insights to give us, because not only is he, well, you know his wonderful career and all the music that he's shared with us over the years has been such a blessing, but when I first heard him, he had brought the duet back to Bill Monroe's band after a long absence, and for that, I thank you so much. That Midnight on the Stormy Deep that you cut in 67 was out of this world, man, and I've been a fan ever since. Mr. Peter Rowan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, yeah.
And we're also pleased to have another wonderful, multi-talented instrumentalist, great mandolin player, great guitar player, also owns a pretty cool guitar.
Why, thank you.
Mr. Dan Tominski. Any thoughts, Dan?
Any thoughts? Just happy to be here. That's my thoughts. I actually had a whole speech prepared, and Sam stole it from me.
Baseball. Yeah, it was the baseball thing. No, there's a lot of room out there for a lot of different styles, and you don't have to pick them all up for mandolin players. There are lots of styles of music, lots of instruments that you can adapt, you know, mandolin things from. So just, you know, the best thing for mandolin players, I think, like any instrument, just a good set of ears, listen to everything.
That is good advice there. Thank you, Dan.
That was sharp.
Well, if you, Dan and Peter, if you would favor us with a vocalization now, what would it be?
Yeah, we're going to do, we're going to slow it down here and play a waltz. Every mandolin player must have some waltzes that he can play, and this is just one of the great ones. Kind of goes back to the very beginnings of the bluegrass sound. It's called In the Pines, and why doesn't everybody just kick it off all together? In the key of E, one, two, and... Thank you.
if the road is watching. In the pines where
chill. Now, what were we doing here? Oh, yeah, mandolin. Hey, a couple of fellas down here I want to introduce you to. On the funny-shaped mandolin.
It's missing something.
Actually, that's a little closer to what the original mandolin shape was.
Well, thank you, Tony. That was just what I was going to say.
From the way back, Mr. James Nash. You want to talk?
Well, I think I will. No, I like the listen to other instruments thing, and it reminded me that one of the things that I really like about the mandolin is that in a bluegrass band, it's basically a drum. And, the chop of the mandolin, I love that. And I'm influenced a lot by the drums and kind of what I play and listen to the rhythms and things. And two of my favorite drummers are John Bonham and Sam Bush. If you don't think he plays the drums, you just ain't paying attention. So it occurred to me that I haven't been to every Mandomania by any stretch, but the ones I've been to, there have been no Bo Diddley beats. And I think we need a Bo Diddley beat. So I'm going to try to play Not Fade Away. And this has got like 6 lines in it. It's kind of like the verse is 4 lines, the chorus is 2. We're going to do it in G. And I'm thinking the first half of each line, we're going to take turns each playing it. And the second half is going to be everybody's doing the... You know? So I'll do it once. And then who wants to be the second in line? Yeah, you got to be. There you go. All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
do here, let's take a break before we'll set him up right. We're going to do C, G, C, G, and then two G. All right?
Be sure to introduce you to this young man. Is he's kicking up some dust in the old bluegrass world. His dad's a fine old time musician from California, and Tom Salver. This young man, Mr. Hollywood, we'll call him. He's got a movie credit. What was it? A Mighty Wind? Was that the name of the movie? He goes in, as you know. So please make welcome Patrick Salver.
Anybody ever heard of California? That's where I'm from. Thriving bluegrass hotbed.
We gotta get together sometime, man.
Yeah.
It's you and me.
No, it's right, true,
yeah, I don't know how I ended up playing traditional bluegrass and old time music in Los Angeles, but it happened. And I don't know what I'm doing up here with these guys. So. I feel like Sanjaya. don't vote me off, please.
Yeah, you can text your votes to Patrick's cell phone. Well, actually, we've got just a few minutes left, so I wanted... This is a Mendelin workshop, so if we could just have a couple of questions. Anybody has something directed toward any of us or all of us, and we'll repeat the question and try to answer it. Any questions? What mandolins were we playing? Well, real quick, let's just go down the line and everybody tell about their acts.
I've got a 04 varnished fern Gibson.
This is a 1926 Gibson fern. That I purchased from, I call this my Tony Williamson model. I bought this from Canada.
I play this mandolin was signed on March 31st of 1924. I got it in Christmas of 1976, and I've played it every day ever since.
I have an Adam Steffi model Gibson, and excuse me, it's made in 2003, so not quite as old, guys. This sound very good, I must say.
Ouch.
This is an April 25, 1923 Gibson that I've had about 2 years. Tony didn't own this one.
Yeah, you did.
This is a 1937 Gibson F5, modified over the years. Tony Rice named it Old Hoss about 30 years ago. I got it in 1973, and before I owned it, it belonged to Norman Blake. And there's a tape of John Hartford, an audio tape only, John Hartford and Norman Blake in a sort of a crazy moment one night when they decided to take all the finish off this Manly. Then I got new finish put back on right before I got it, so now we're back to where they were again. But it's older.
This mandolin is a Sim Daly model mandolin that he had. This was a shop mandolin. It was never meant to be sold or seen, probably. He said, well, there was a minor flaw, so I was going to cut it in half, is what he told me. And I said, don't you dare, and I stole it from him, and I took it, and I won't let him have it back.
Yeah, this is a six-year-old. It's a lowly A model, but it's made by Collings from Austin, Texas. They make fine mandolins.
I'm just playing a cheap Pacific Rim import made by some guy named Gilchrist in 2005.
Guitar, it's a mandolin. It's a free Mexican Air Force mandolin. That's how it works.
Just above the radar.
Another question. That's a good question. We'll get back to you on that. Anything else? How old were we when we started playing?
I was 16. I started playing mandolin.
Yeah, I was 15.
Actually, on my brother's 5th birthday, my dad got him a mandolin, and he told me not to touch it. I was 4.
I've been playing since I was 8. I'm 15 now.
I was an embryo, and being the son of Dell, I think so.
He's a McCurry, he was born with it.
I was 13 years old when I started to play the mandolin.
Age 11 for me.
Age 8.
I started playing guitar when I was 9, and I guess I've been playing the mandolin for about 10 years now.
When I was 10, I started playing accordion. When I was 16, when I started playing mandolin.
I started playing the banjo ukulele at 12, and then graduated to the mandolin at 16.
Good age.
Anything else? How many hours a day do we practice?
As much as possible.
It depends from day to day. When I was really young, I played all the time. I have a 6-month-old now, so not quite as much.
Well, you know, my thoughts on the practice thing is it's like you can't cram for an exam. I would say 20 minutes a day is better than 4 hours once a month. So...
And all God's people say, what? Amen. with me, I go into a public school and being in school all the time, it makes it kind of hard to, you know, really practice several hours a day. But, you know, I play every day, so even if it's not hardcore practicing, you know, every now and then I'll break out a Sam Bush record or something and try to steal his licks. But no, but just playing every day, even if it's just a little bit, I think is always really helpful and a good way to, you know, stay in shape and to learn more all the time.
Well, when I was younger, I practiced all the time. But as I got older and playing a band that plays pretty much all the time, it just kind of keeps me in shape, you know. I do a lot of practicing on the stage, as they say.
Actually, when I started at age 11, it was kind of like, I feel like that was fortunate to start so young because I did have a lot of time to practice before you graduate from high school. You need to make a living and diversify your attention. And but yeah, I think you'll find a lot of us, especially when you play professionally, it's odd that you don't practice as much as you'd like to once you become a professional musician. But the best practice is on stage. Because I got to tell you, you make a big flub in front of the entire Merlefest, you might not do it again. So you might not do it again.
Oh, man. Used to practice a lot as a younger person. Not as much anymore, but I think good advice for me or that I give other people is to not put it away in the case. Keep an instrument stand somewhere in your living room or, you know, if you're able, keep your mandolin out and I will, you know, I will practice for like 5 minutes, you know, 12 times a day.
Yeah, and even if it's 5 minutes one time a day, I mean, really, that's kind of the thing that I make myself do is pick up at least one of my instruments every day because, you know, like I said, everybody's got a job, and maybe it's professional musician, maybe it's whatever you do, but getting the instrument in your hands every day, I think, is the most important thing. So don't feel like you've got to sit down for 3 hours or even half an hour. I mean, if you're dead tired and you're going to bed, pick the thing up for 5 minutes, and I find that keeps you in touch with it.
For me, practicing mostly consists of listening to music. I mean, I listen to probably 10 hours of music for every 1 hour that I practice, and it's mostly old stuff, old bluegrass, old Bill Monroe, and it just helps because if it's in your head all the time, it won't take much to make that connection from your brain to your hands. And during the course of listening, if I hear something that I don't do right, I'll pick up the instrument and try to figure it out. But playing a lot, just playing shows and stuff, that takes care of most of the physical aspects.
Okay, time for one more quick question. Yes, sir. How old were we when we started in our first band?
I was actually playing banjo and guitar in the first band I was in, and we needed a mandolin player, so I learned at 16 to do that. So I picked up the mandolin because that was kind of the only thing left and needed.
My first band was Livewire. I was 19. It was with Scott Vestal and Robert Hill and Ernie Sykes.
My brother and I started doing our duo in church around, I was about 8.
Oh, geez, okay. Well, my family has always, played and sang music in church together and stuff like that. So that's kind of how I first started playing music and then, you know, just meeting other people. So I kind of have a band together and this weekend we're playing some. It's me and Corey Walker and Clay Hess and Jamie Boomer and... we're called Sierra Hole and Highway 111. So about like the past 3 years, I guess we've been doing that. But I'm currently unemployed, I guess you could say.
I was 13 when I started playing the mandolin, and about 6 months later, my dad put me in the band, asked me if I wanted to play. So I was just playing the rhythm, and I always say sink or swim because these guys were all professionals, and it really made me have to keep up with it. So. That's how old I was.
I was 12 when I started playing. I have two sisters that sang folk music, so this was back in 63. And so we learned folk songs to play with my sisters. And then when I was about 13, I started playing fiddle in a bluegrass band. The band was called the Grayson County Boys and featured a guy that later we used to hear sing around, and Danny Jones, great lead singer.
I heard a J.D. Crowe record when I was 12, and it made me want to take up the banjo. I started playing banjo, I think, when I was like 12 and a half, and had a band with my brother when I was 13 years old, so I guess 13 would have been my first band.
I was 5'2" when I got into my first band. Playing rock and roll music and, you know, for high school keg parties and all sorts of stuff that I wasn't telling my parents about. And then I found out that they really were kind of okay with it. Now, I think that if you can get a chance to play with anybody, anyway, or by hook or by crook, that's the best way to get started out. And don't feel like you got to practice for years before you go out and play with people. Because I think some of the stuff that I really learned was early on that I was lucky enough to live in a neighborhood where there were some Sunday kind of potluck get-togethers and people would bring instruments. And, you know, I learned a bunch of old tunes that way and just sort of hammered along. I wanted to do it and I didn't know what I was doing. So, you know, don't just jump in there.
I guess my first band experience would have been when I was about 10, and it was all Cajun stuff. I wasn't kidding about the accordion. And I did that for a long time, and then, because I wasn't good enough at bluegrass for anyone to hire me. And I suppose I was about 18 when someone asked me to join a band.
Okay, guys. Mandomania is drawing close to a close, but we are going to feature one more song and an answer to your question as to what it will be in the key of A. The old classic mandolin number that Pee Wee Lambert played with Ralph Stanley, which was entitled Ralph's Banjo Special. Pretty unusual title for a mandolin instrumental. But we can also call it Daybreak and Dixie. I want to thank Peter Rowan, Pat Sauber, James Nash, Dan Kaminsky, Ronnie McCurry, Darren Aldridge, Wayne Benson, Sierra Hall, and of course Sam Bush. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Legoland Mania. Thank you, Tony. Thanks to all those Metal Olympics. Wow. A little instrument with a big heart.